This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks for listening to a new kind of radio, because life doesn't stop on the weekends. A couple of weeks ago on the show, I was talking about the bankruptcy of Detroit, the largest American city to file Chapter 9 bankruptcy. And I've been looking up some numbers since then. For instance, at what the median household has been making in Detroit. Usually these are numbers that go up through the years. You go back to 1970, and it was about $56,000. In 1980, it had dropped to $45,000. In 1990, it was $42,000. In 2000, it had come down to $37,000. And as of 2010, as of the census of 2010, it was down to $26,000. People there were making, on average, less than half of what they were making 40 years ago. It's supposed to go the other way, but in Detroit, it has been an arrow that has been pointed down, down, down. There's been white flight from the city. The car industry has moved out to the suburbs. The city of Detroit, which once held a population of 1.5 million people, now has less than half of that, only about 700,000 people. That hurts your tax base. That hurts the amount of money that you can have going into companies in that town. So it hurts business as well. And it hurts services. You've heard me talk about how a friend of mine in Detroit, when I visited there about 15 years ago, told me it took 10 to 15 minutes to get a 911 call answered. Now it is closer to an hour before you can get police, fire, or ambulance to come to your house. That is untenable for any town, a small town or a big city. You should not have to wait an hour for somebody to respond to an emergency. So what is next for Detroit? Well, it seems like that is a city that has for years been at a crossroads. And now with this Chapter 9 filing, they certainly are facing questions about their future. My next guest has tried to answer some of the questions about the possibilities for Detroit. His name is Richard Harwood. He is the founder and president of the Harwood Institute for Public Innovation. Rich, welcome to America Weekend.
Good to be with you, Paul. Thanks for having me.
What do you see in Detroit's bankruptcy in terms of where it can go from here?
Well, you know, as you just pointed out, the community's in a heap of trouble. But one of the things that I look for is whether or not there are pockets of change that are starting to emerge in the community that point to a different direction, that suggest a real sense of hope and possibility. And so if you look in downtown Detroit, for instance, you'll see new businesses locating there. Quicken Loans now makes it their headquarters. There are new entrepreneurial efforts coming into town. There's new venture capital money coming into town. There are buildings being refurbished. The Red Wings are now going to build a new arena there. So there's activity happening that suggests that the community can start to what my concern is that people are ready to declare Detroit dead. And what I see is a heap of trouble, but a community with pockets of change that suggest it can create a different movement and momentum moving forward.
You know what this sounds to me? In the investing community, the advice is always buy low, sell high.
That's right.
Well, you don't get much lower than Detroit, so you're saying it's a buy opportunity.
Well, look, I mean, there are lots of, when you read about Detroit, you talk to folks in Detroit, there are entrepreneurs and individuals who are really excited about being there, about coming into town. They feel as though they're part of what they would call the Detroit turnaround. And as you know, and your listeners know, that moving a community forward is part financial and services, which I know we'll talk about, but a lot of it also is psychological. Do people feel a sense of being part of something larger than themselves? Do they feel a sense of momentum? And I think you're starting to see that in Detroit right now.
What about the people who are there who are going to be impacted by this bankruptcy? And I'm talking particularly about the people who have pension money that they may not get. You know, people who have been retired, who are expecting to have money. Maybe they made it when the city was doing better. I can't say thriving, because Detroit hasn't been thriving for a long time. But when it was doing a little bit better and they were working, they were made a promise that, you know, when you retire, we're going to take care of you. And now that's not going to happen. That's got to hurt the morale.
It does hurt the morale. There's no question about that. And, you know, this is going to be happening in a lot of other towns across the country. We've got communities that have long-term pension liabilities, health care liabilities, and they don't have the population to support the payback of those liabilities. It will hurt morale, and I think the question for folks in Detroit will be, Are our city services coming back online? You know, 40% of the streetlights in Detroit don't work. As you mentioned at the top of the program, it's nearly an hour for police service to come if you call and there's a real crime, for instance, happening in your home or around you. And I think the average Detroiter wants to know, will those city services improve? Will the lights, in a sense, be turned back on to offset any kind of financial hit they're going to take? And they will take a financial hit.
All right, so let's go back to those entrepreneurs that you say are choosing Detroit. They're buying low. There are new businesses moving into downtown. They've got to be worried about exactly what we were just talking about, the service part of the town.
There's no question. You know, there have been some property tax and other tax breaks given for small businesses. And what I hear from some of those small businesses is that, you know, those breaks are important. But I think what people look at when they're moving into a community or deciding whether or not to stay is the quality of life. Do we believe that the lights will be turned on, that the police will come? You know, just a number of years ago, there were 317 parks in Detroit that were open. Now there's only 107 that are open, and 50 of those are slated to be closed. You can't create a good quality of life for folks in Detroit and expect people to move into the community if they're closing down as opposed to opening up some of these things like parks, the streetlights, making sure cops come on time. Those are really going to be pivotal moving forward.
What happens when a park closes? Do they fence it off and nobody's supposed to go inside? I mean, I didn't know you could close a park like that.
That's a really good question. You know, I'm sure there are some parks that have gates around them. But you know, I think in other communities where I've seen this happen, like Flint, Michigan, is that the parks just you know, weeds overgrow them, swing sets and other things decay if they're not properly taken care of. They become eyesores. And again, this goes back to the psychological part of whether or not a community can come back. You know, if people are driving through town and it looks bombed out and there are weeds overrunning everything, the parks are closed, the streetlights don't work, the cops don't show up, psychologically that really takes a toll on people. And it deadens any sense of hope and possibility that can be emerging.
I mentioned before that Detroit is the largest American city to file Chapter 9 bankruptcy. Have you seen other cities, obviously smaller ones, that have had problems like this, that have been able to turn themselves around, that have essentially regentrified an entire town?
Well, you know, Pittsburgh didn't declare bankruptcy, but as you know and your listeners know, in the 70s they really tanked as the steel industry fell apart and jobs were lost there. And Pittsburgh's a story of a community that has come back, that's looked at what its assets were, healthcare, information, other kinds of things, higher knowledge professions in a sense, and they're doing quite well. So it's possible. You can look at not too far from Detroit. I'm doing a lot of work in Youngstown, Ohio now, also fell on hard times. There, the schools have been taken over by an academic distress commission appointed by the governor, not a good sign. But there, too, there are signs that the community is starting to come back after a long decline of maybe 30 or 40 years. So it's possible. It requires people to work together. It requires not trying to solve everything all at once, but figuring out where you can start to make a dent and how you can create proof points so that people actually feel that the community is moving in a different direction.
You know, I was speaking of cities and cities of scale. I can remember the mid-70s, that famous New York Post cover.
That's right.
When the city of New York was in dire financial straits, and the cover was President Ford to city, drop dead. There wasn't going to be financial aid coming to them, and New York was a pretty desperate place at the time and certainly has turned itself around.
It has turned itself around. You know, I was living in New York at that time, in upstate New York, and I remember seeing that headline, and there was just a collective gasp about what to do, but they came back. You know, I live outside of Washington, D.C. now in Bethesda, Maryland, and D.C. is another community that over the last 20 years has really rebounded. Now, the economic development is uneven across the community. The schools still need a lot of improvement, but there are tons of businesses that are relocated here. It's a vibrant economy. It's diversified away from just being about the government. And this community as well has turned the corner and is doing quite well.
Well, if Detroit can get its tax base going again with some businesses there, I'm not sure giving tax breaks to businesses is going to help when you want to build up that tax base, but that's another discussion for another day. If they can do that, perhaps they can prove some resiliency and move forward, as you're stressing here. Richard Harwood is founder and president of the Harwood Institute for Public Innovation, online at theharwoodinstitute.org. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Paul, thanks so much for having me.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network. Works.